The Kansas City Chiefs lost 14 games last season, a total that equals their all-time worst season. In 1733, Alexander Pope wrote "Hope Springs Eternal in the Human Beast." In 2013, Alexander Smith will write Chiefs history, aiming to transform hope to reality. This season, Smith is the Chiefs' new quarterback, and he joins a new coaching staff and at least a few new management team players, or staffers rather, for the Chiefs' 43rd NFL season. I'm Bill Anderson. Today on Central Standard, the start of the NFL season for the Chiefs is this weekend. They'll be in Jacksonville before coming back to KC for a home opener. Later in the hour, new looks and new directions in Westport. But first, football. Joining us by telephone is Chiefs President Mark Donovan. Mark, it's nice to have you on KCUR.
Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs. A new head coach, lots of new players, a new general manager. Kind of an uncertain season lies ahead, wouldn't you think?
Well, obviously I'm biased, but I'd like to say it's an exciting season lies ahead.
Uh-huh. You know,
the energy in this town and the energy in this building has been amazing since January. And last year was a difficult season for us all on many levels. But in January, we turned the page, and we went out and hired what I think is the best coach available in Andy Reid, a proven winner. Guy's done this before. And then quickly got John Dorsey, our new general manager, on board. John and Andy got together and quickly made a decision to bring in Alex Smith as our new quarterback, and everything sort of snowballed from there. We had a great training camp up in St. Joe. We've had a pretty good preseason. Stayed relatively healthy and getting ready to go down to Jacksonville and start the season this Sunday.
Yeah, what can we realistically expect from the Chiefs on the field in 2013?
Well, that's a great debate amongst our fans, amongst the media. You know, as the president of the organization, I like to say that what I do is try to support the guys who make the best decisions for our football team, and that's Andy and John and Clark Hunt. I think expectation-wise, they're very high from our fan base. You know, I get the opportunity to talk to fans and season ticket holders almost every day, and there's a real excitement for this season. So as Andy likes to say as the head coach, we're focused on Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And let's go down and beat Jacksonville and come home 1-0, and then we'll focus on the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course, wins and losses are the major measuring sticks for an NFL franchise. But what other targets as a president have you established for success for this edition of the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, we look at a lot of different measurables on the business side. And they're measurements that give you some indication of your success as a team. And if you look at what we have done over the past 5 or 6 years in terms of season tickets, in terms of television ratings, it's a real testament to the fan base in Kansas City and in this region. The Chiefs are an iconic brand, but more than anything else, they're Kansas City's team. And as you mentioned in the opening, you know, coming off a season where you win 2 football games, it's easy to lose hope.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at our preseason games, we had 4 preseason games this year. The ratings for those preseason games are actually up higher over the last 4 years. So you would expect in a typical business where if you're struggling with your product, our product being the product on the field, that your indicators are going to be down. Our indicators are actually up. And again, that's a testament to our fan base.
Now, you have some 10 rookies on the roster. You have some veterans playing for KC for the first time, and you referenced Andy Reid and the new coaching staff. Talk about how you acclimate them to a new system, to a different coaching style, and even all of them adjusting to a new community.
Well, I will tell you that from a coaching perspective, Andy's put together a real quality staff. And you look at our coordinators, there's a lot of experience with Andy on the offensive side of the ball. Almost the majority of our new coaching staff on the offensive side have been with Andy for a long time. So there's a lot of familiarity. There's a lot of understanding of the system and the concept. On the defensive side of the ball, he brought in Bob Sutton from the New York Jets. Bob is a longtime coach and a real brilliant defensive mind. What I have seen personally as a fan, more so than the president, is a real camaraderie that has built up since the day this coaching staff got together and since the day that John Dorsey put the actual team together. And you're seeing that in training camp. You're seeing that in preseason games. You're seeing that when they're in the building. Just as an example, yesterday is our typical off day during an NFL week, and there are more cars in the parking lot for our players who are here on an off day than I've seen in my 5 years in Kansas City. And that's a great sign of this team coming together.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, and I do so with the utmost sensitivity and respect, with the pall cast by last year's murder-suicide perpetrated by a deeply troubled player, obviously, how has that changed the organization, or has it changed the organization?
Well, I think as an organization, no matter what your organization is, you face challenges. When we went through that last year, one of the great support systems that you have in the National Football League is the 31 other teams, and they've all been through similar things. The support that we received from the NFL, from the other clubs, was overwhelming. But the reality is the situation was very different, and that few people, few organizations had been through the combination of those events and the time frame in which they happened. I think to answer your question, it brought us together as an organization. It definitely gave us an unfortunate opportunity to actually go through that together and understand the importance of relying on each other, understand the importance of focusing on the details and making sure that we're supporting each other through a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as I said in the past, you get through a season like that and everything that happened, including that incident, and then you get to January. And I think the real measure of this organization was the leadership that Clark Hunt showed and saying, 2012 is the past, and we are going to move forward starting today. He made some very difficult decisions and some very significant changes, and we moved forward. And that's really what this organization has done, is we've moved forward, and I think we've moved forward as a cohesive team.
What gives you the most reason for optimism?
Well, as you opened the segment, hope springs eternal. One of the great things about our league is that it's set up so that you actually can compete and can recover from a season like you had last year. There are so many examples of clubs in the National Football League who've been able to go from a very difficult season to a very successful season. So that, number one, gives you hope that you're in a league structure where you can make a move and be successful in a short period of time. I think the second thing that gives me personal hope is I spent six seasons with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. I've seen what he can do. I think that the coaching staff that he's put together is really, really focused on accountability and attention to detail. I think that's going to play out through the entire season. So that gives me a lot of hope with how successful this team can be. And then you add in what John Dorsey has been able to do on the player side. It's not only the draft of this season, but it's also making sure that we've got the right free agents that we've brought in. And when you look at what he did in his first 90 days here, there was a flurry of activity. If you look at what John has done over the past 4 or 5 days with the final cutdown and then signing free agent, it's another flurry of activity. And as John has said, this is the opportunity to make your team better. And we're trusting that he's making those right decisions, and that gets us excited.
You have, as president, we're talking to Chiefs president Mark Donovan. Mark, as president, your responsibility is probably twofold. You have to have a winning team, ultimately, and also you're expected to bring fans into the Arrowhead Stadium. To that extent, how does that look in terms of the fan base?
Well, as I said earlier, if you look at our major indicators, including ticket sales, the numbers are up. And coming off a season like we had last year, that's impressive from a fan base perspective. Our fans are the best in the National Football League. They support us through thick and thin. And they're excited about this season. I think if you just look at where we've been and where we're headed, it's an exciting time to be part of the Chiefs organization. It's an exciting time to be a fan of the Chiefs organization. And we go down to Jacksonville this Sunday, hopefully come back with a win. And then we've got a game against the Dallas Cowboys on the 15th that will be the most attended game since 2007. So you think, again, if you go back to what we've been talking about, coming off the season last year and then being able to walk into our first home game and have 73,000, 75,000-plus people in the building, It's a great testament to our fans, but it's also a reason to get excited about this team.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You've been credited with a renewed focus on the fan experience, so maybe that partially explains why you will have a sold-out stadium when the Cowboys come calling. Tell us more about that, Mark, and start with the stadium, the in-stadium experience, if you would.
Well, it's been a focus of ours for the last 5 years to continue to capitalize on what Arrowhead is, and it's such a special place in sports. I spent a lot of years in other cities and worked in the National Football League, so I've seen all 32 franchises. You know, Arrowhead holds a special place in sports. And what we tried to do with the renovation is keep all of the great aspects of Arrowhead, but also add the great amenities that we compete with other sports venues. One of the things that fans will see this year is more interactivity. So we've installed a Wi-Fi system, we've installed a DAS system, which is a distributed antenna system, and those are designed to do a couple different things. One is really help with the base level functionality of being able to text, being able to make a phone call while you're in the stadium with 70,000 other people. The Wi-Fi system will really enhance the game day experience with interactive applications. So you'll see a Chiefs app that will roll out with more detail next week, but we've been testing it over the last 2 weeks, and you'll be able to watch replays from the game you're watching on your mobile device. You'll be able to check your fantasy stats on your mobile device. You'll be able to interact with other fans using our Wi-Fi system. And the intent of all of these different functionalities is to provide a better fan experience. Mm-hmm. One of the things we did last year that was simple was, and this is a league-wide effort, we took the replay that the official looks at when he goes under the hood. So there's a controversial call where his feet inbounds or out of bounds. When that official goes into the under the hood, as we call it, you know, he's looking at a replay in a very defined way. We took that video and actually put it on our big boards in the stadium. You couldn't see that at home when you're watching the broadcast. You were watching exactly what that official was looking at in replay, going back forth, where the feet inbounds, and showed it to the fans who were in the building. We are really focused on providing more things like that. Some of them are very simple. Some of them are very technically advanced, but trying to provide more and more opportunities to provide a better experience in the stadium.
Mark, I know you have to go here in a couple of minutes, so I want to ask you one more question. Football is obviously America's sport now, yet we have some alarms going off. In the day of super fast, super strong athletes, brain trauma is both a short and long-term problem. And just your thoughts, what are the Chiefs and the NFL doing differently this year, perhaps, from past years that might minimize this issue?
Well, I think if you're a fan of the sport, you've seen over the last few years a real focus on changing the rules of the game and the way the game is played at the highest levels to eliminate hits to the head. I personally am a pretty ardent supporter of continuing to focus on changing the rules of the game and the way the game is played. I think that's the way to make it a safer sport.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent and as a son who plays tackle football, it's real important that he see the way the game is played and the things that technique-wise and focus-wise are different than how I played the game growing up.
Right.
I think as we continue to teach these techniques, to make it a priority with the coaching staffs all the way down to the youth level, the importance of proper technique, and then have our highest level athletes playing that way and seeing that certain plays are going to be eliminated from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to make the game safer for everyone.
A last question. Mark, do you ever sneak out to a tailgater for some barbecue at home games?
You know, it's known by a bunch of folks, but it's actually not widely known. Clark Hunt goes tailgating just about every single game.
Good
and
for him.
Most of those games I get to go with him. So we have seen just about everything you could possibly see in terms of grilling and barbecuing. And it's one of the most enjoyable parts of the day. Now, obviously, celebrating a win is the most enjoyable part of the day, but being out there with our fans and being out there tailgating and taking part in one of the iconic parts of a game day experience at Arrowhead is really exciting and something I really enjoy doing.
Mark Donovan is the president of the Kansas City Chiefs, the fifth president for a franchise that is now over 50 years old. Thanks for taking time out of your busy week, Mark.
I'm glad to do it.
And good luck on Sunday.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Now joining us in the studio on KCUR and Central Standard, in the studio, ardent Chiefs fan and editor of SB Nation, Arrowhead Pride, Joel Thorman. Nice to have you here.
Bill, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, any reaction to Mr. Donovan's comments?
Well, I was very surprised at the type of attendance that they're expecting this year. You know, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the Chiefs and really the NFL as a whole, attendance has started to go down a little bit. And the fact that the Chiefs expect, the Cowboys game to be the most attended game since 2007, that was really kind of an eye-opener for
me. Was for me as well, yeah. Well, I would guess, you know, the Cowboys are kind of a draw, so that probably enhances sales, I would think. What do you think? What do you make of this team? I mean, a lot of new guys. It's going to take a while to build chemistry, I would think.
Well, this is the time of year when every team has a shot. Every team is 0-0. it's honestly the best time in the NFL because that's what, as Mark Donovan mentioned, that's what makes the NFL great, is that every year every team can legitimately claim they have a shot. And you take the Chiefs coming off 2 wins, and there are plenty of people out there predicting that they will compete for the playoffs, which, you know, 9 months ago we would have laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
So they've taken all these changes. They brought in these established players, these big names like Andy Reid, like Alex Smith. And it just seems like, from my experiences throughout training camp in the off season, they just seem so focused. Mm-hmm. You can tell the staff is veteran, that the coaches on staff have been with Andy Reid for a long time, and they just seem to understand what it takes.
And do you see the players buying into this program?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's like I said, this is the time of year when I think everybody's starting to buy in right before the season, so it's kind of difficult to discern who are the contenders and who are the pretenders at this time of year. But you certainly get the feeling that the players are on board. And I think that's because Andy Reid's plan, you know, he's presented it and he's done it over the last 14 years. So there's not a lot you have to buy into because he's done it. So,
well, what impresses me about Andy Reid is the fact that he survived in Philadelia 13 years or 14?
14 years.
Yeah. That by itself tells me that this guy must have something going for him, because that just doesn't happen in the NFL in this day and age.
I'll tell you what I think the secret is. Quarterbacks. This league always comes down to quarterbacks.
Huh.
And Andy Reid drafted a good one early in Donovan McNabb. And he just has an eye for quarterbacks. It's the most important position on the field, probably in all of sports. And Andy Reid has had success with multiple different quarterbacks. So I think that bodes well not only for 2013 for the Chiefs, but 14, 15, 16 in years down the line, because you not only need a good quarterback to start the game for you, you also need somebody waiting in the wings for 2 years down the line.
Well, we have Alex Smith at quarterback from San Francisco. Evaluate him.
Very, very smart guy. You can tell just talking to him. He cares. He puts thought into the answers that we ask him, which isn't always the case with players. So for my job, I really appreciate that. He's accurate. He's spent some time in a system similar to what Andy Reid is going to run in Kansas City. And some of his skill sets, I think Andy Reid is going to be able to adapt to what he does well. But I think the biggest advantage with Alex Smith is that when you line up on the field and he's reading the defense, I feel before the ball is snapped, he can read a defense as well as anybody. And if you have a quarterback that can do that, you can start to create some advantages in your corner.
It's Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Bill Anderson with you're a Chiefs fan, right? Have
yes.
been lifelong?
Lifelong.
Kansas City native?
Yep, born in Kansas City, not too far from here.
Yeah, and is this like a dream job for you as a full-time blogger?
I have what I believe to be the greatest job in the world. I started the blog several years ago, and it just morphed into this situation where I could do it full-time. And imagine starting a blog because you love this team, and then do it full time for several years, and we continue to grow. I have the best job in the world.
Yeah, and you, I think you described your previous job as very, very boring.
Very, very boring. It was in marketing, and yeah. you know it was one of those things where I just did my day job as quickly as possible so that I could create more time for the blog.
That's Joel Foreman. He's a blogger. It's Arrowhead Pride, part of a nationwide system, right?
A network of blogs through SB Nation.
Yeah.
So we have a blog for every major team and every major sport.
Now, I have to ask you, do you travel? Do you follow the Chiefs? And do you go on the road with them? Or
generally not.
Yeah.
I will go to maybe one road game a year, but not weekly.
Okay. Let's go back to this quarterback situation, because those guys take a lot of hits. It's inevitable that over the course of a season, a quarterback's going to be injured or going to be hampered in some respect. What do you make of the backups, Chase Daniel and I think it's Tyler Bray?
Correct. Chase Daniel was brought here this offseason. He's, of course, from Missouri. I remember when that signing went down and on Arrowhead Pride, there was a lot of KU versus MU disagreements going down there. But Chase Daniel has had an okay preseason. I wouldn't say he has looked great. Tyler Bray is the very young guy who went undrafted. He's got a heck of an arm, just about the biggest arm you'd see. And he's shown a little bit of promise late in the season. And since this is Kansas City and we need a quarterback controversy to survive here, you've already got fans debating Chase Daniel versus Tyler Bray as the backup quarterback. I don't think either of them are ready yet, so you're crossing your fingers that Alex Smith is going to stay healthy. But there's at least a little bit of promise behind him, which is not something we've had over the past 3 or 4 years. That was not having a capable backup quarterback was one of the top 3 to 4 problems with the previous regime that was in town.
Our phone number is 235-2888, 816-235-2888. Again, I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard, and blogger Joel Foreman is with us. And you call in, and we ask you a question, and then you get to ask us one, okay? We're going to have a pop quiz coming up. But phone in at 235-2888. So what do you make of all these issues with the injuries that are taking place on the field? And I'm especially interested in hearing you talk about the brain trauma and what the NFL can possibly do to minimize those kind of issues. Because as I alluded to when Mark Donovan was on with us, it's both a short term and a very serious long term issue.
Well, it's I think it's multi-layered. There's a short-term issue, and that's a football problem, and then there's the longer-term health issues. And I think what kind of clouds this is this research isn't all that old. We don't know everything that happens, and I think that's just the nature of the brain itself. I think this past week, the NFL and the players who were suing the league over concussions, they came to a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that begins to close the book on that particular phase. But after that, it's just simply going to be on to the next one. And there's as I think about this, I just can't get past the fact that football is a violent game. They've added pads. They've started to change the rules, as Mark Donovan alluded to. But at the end of the day, unless you take out the tackling, these types of things are still going to happen. It's possible to minimize it, but there's really no way you can completely remove that aspect unless you fundamentally change what football is.
Well, I played football in high school, and I remember getting my bell rung many a time and being encouraged to shake it off and get back in the game. Perhaps that's why I'm sitting here today.
No, I mean that's and even I think the one of the larger issues is kind of a culture change around how we treat concussions. Like, mm-hmm. for example, not to pick on you, but getting mm-hmm. your bell rung, I don't think is a term that football coaches should be using.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting your bell rung could be a concussion. In fact, it probably is. And it's probably doing damage, more damage than we realize.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, we asked for calls, and Bill is calling from Stillwell. Good morning, sir. Bill, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to say, first of all, talk about the concussion, but real quick, been a lifelong Chiefs fan, and just renewed my tickets. Got them in the mail to send you little plastic tickets, which I don't really like, but that's okay. You got to run through. Sometimes they can't scan them. But I want to say something about Alex Smith. I like Alex Smith a lot. I think the issue for me really is that I was fortunate enough to own a company, had a suite at Arrowhead Stadium for several years, Section 115. And what happens is that in about the third quarter, even though we think we're the most loyal fans in the NFL, we're not. We're ranked number 21 right now as a fan base, which is not a good position to be in. And the team itself is ranked around 15th or 18th, something like that, depending upon where you look. The issue I have, really, the reason why I'm calling is I want the fans to know that I'm really upset with them, because even the ones that are, you know, been there for a while, they'll drink themselves to oblivion, you know, speaking of concussions. And the third quarter, they turned the tap off. And there's an exodus of people out to the parking lot to drink some more or go to their favorite watering holes and drink. What they need to do, if possible, I know you're going to be put out and you have to stop the drinking, but stick to the end of the fourth quarter, support your team. You go to Green Bay, people don't leave till the fourth quarter, then the game is over. You look at the most loyal fan base, the top 10 teams have them, and that is reflective upon the ownership, because the ownership then thinks, well, you know, the city really doesn't want to have a championship team. They're just kind of okay with mediocre performance.
That's a good point, Bill.
It's very reflective. The last thing I have to say is about the concussion. There are more concussions during high school and college practice than there are during the actual games. And I would be all for taking the helmet off or putting the leather helmets on and taking them off completely and do the actual tackling. Tackle means you tackle somebody. You don't hit somebody. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's got to be, is we got to get back to the real game that they used to play in the 30s and 40s and 50s until the plastic and the metal helmets came about,
Bill,
which allows people to do that.
Bill, we're going
to
let you go, but I have to ask you, the Chiefs were originally called the what?
The Dallas Texans.
Very good. Do you remember the year?
I want to say it was early 60s. I'm not that old.
1960, I thought, but Joel.
Yeah, I think it is 1960, and then they came here, and you know, so we've got the first to all the fans. Our home opener here is against Dallas, so it's the Texans versus the Dallas Texans, right?
Yes.
Well, it'll be a great game.
Have a nice day. I like his enthusiasm.
Oh no, that's a Chiefs fan for you right there.
Ken's calling from Liberty. Hi, Ken. I've got a question for you. Kansas City has won how many games in the franchise history? This is a percentage. 64%, 51%, or 44% of the games played?
I want to say 51%.
You got it. This is public radio, so there will be no prize guaranteed to change your life, but you can give us a prize. We'll allow you to make a donation. Fair?
Maybe.
Go ahead, Ken.
Two questions. First one is, what parts or what does this team remind you of any previous Chiefs teams, or what parts of this team remind you of previous Chiefs teams? And secondly, my son wants to go see my 11-year-old son wants to go see a Chiefs game for the first time. What's going to be the best, most exciting game to take him to this home game this year? I'll take my answers off the air.
Thanks, Ken.
Well, as for the best game, I would have to say that would be the Denver game in Kansas City. I believe it comes in early October, week 10 or 11. By that point, the Chiefs probably won't be out of it. They'll be competing with the Broncos for the division title. So I think that's going to be the best game on the schedule.
Okay, let's go. What would you say would be the second best option? Because that's going to be a tough ticket.
Yeah, no, that the you know, Peyton Manning coming to town after Ooh. After how many times he's just beat the Chiefs at you know, inopportune times, of course. And then after that, the home opener, you know, against Dallas. We just heard this week that Brian Waters, I don't know if you remember him, he was a Chief for about 10 years. He just came out of retirement and signed with Dallas. So he's going to be coming back to Kansas City, and he was a favorite of a lot of people. So that adds another kind of interesting dynamic to it.
By NFL standards, he has to be an old guy.
Oh yeah, mid-30s.
Yeah,
ancient in the NFL.
235-2888. We can probably get in a quick phone call if you call now. 235-2888 if you have a question about the Chiefs. Now, you know, with 10 rookies, a lot of new players, new coaching staff, what do you think we will see this coming Sunday? Do you think it'll be guys just kind of figuring one another out? And my understanding is there are still some issues with the offensive line, and correct me if I'm mistaken.
Yeah, there are some issues with the offensive line. It's kind of a boom or bust group. If you look at the ceiling for each player there, you know, they can be very, very good. But there's also some cracks in the foundation. The number one pick in the draft, Eric Fisher, is an offensive tackle, and he's been hurt. You know, their center has had some issues. They've had some other injury issues at guard, and there's just, you know, some various questions in there. As for the team as a whole, you know, I think the goal this season for the Chiefs and what Chiefs fans should expect is, when late December comes along, I think the Chiefs should be competitive, competing for a playoff spot. You know, it's a little early to say that they need to be winning the division. The Broncos are one of the best teams in the league, but given the way the NFL is set up, there is absolutely no reason that Chiefs fans shouldn't expect to see a competitive team. Late in the year, mid-December, the playoffs should still be in sight,
and then for years to come.
Well, that's the plan with Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, has he figured out the secret? Because he was awful good for a long time in Philadelphia. Just like
the cheese sandwich there. Now
yes,
here it's barbecue.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I actually saw there's a local restaurant who's coming out with a barbecue Philly cheese sandwich to welcome Andy Reid. I reserve judgment on that until I've had it.
In the brief time we have left, Joel, tell me about a player that we should be watching, maybe somebody that's under the radar but has like a huge upside, a lot of potential.
Well, the number one pick obviously isn't under the radar, but he's somebody to be keeping an eye on. And then there's a backup running back that I like, Niall Davis. Came out of Arkansas. He is going to be the first man up if, you know, heaven forbid anything happens to Jamaal Charles. He would be the one to step in. And just the way this offense is structured this year, a lot of guys are going to see a lot of catches out of the backfield. So Niall Davis will be involved. And then he's also going to do a little kick returning. He had a 100-yard kick return in the preseason. So he could get an opportunity there. And that's, you know, I could really answer this question by saying, look at all the Chiefs' kick and punt returners, because they have, in four preseason games, which don't count, you know, they have looked outstanding. Like, they could be the best special teams return unit in the league. They've looked that good. You know, they've got to play the games. But that's an area that I'm really, really excited about.
And you alluded to the number one draft. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Eric Fisher. He came out of Central Michigan. The choice kind of came down to between him and Luke Jokel, who's from a big school. Eric Fisher's from the small school. They went with the small school guy. Mm-hmm. His first couple days of practice, he hurt his hands, his finger. He's got a shoulder injury. So I think he's getting adjusted to life in the NFL pretty quickly.
Joel Foran, it's been really nice to have you here.
Yeah, no, this was very good. Glad to talk Chiefs at any time.
And we'll have more information about you on our website after the show. Thanks again, and good luck on Sunday. As a journalist, I suppose, good luck.
it'll be fun to watch. I can guarantee that.
All right, take care, sir. It's great to have you listening on KCUR and Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson. Game one of the NFL season is this Sunday at Jacksonville for the Chiefs. Our guest has been Chiefs blogger and lifelong fan Joel Foran, who blogs for Arrowhead Pride. Nice contributions today, sir. Coming up, a look at Westport and its changing face, including a new look for an old school. I'm Bill Anderson. You're listening to Central Standard.